need is help with transportation. I plan to ask the men and women on Mars to stretch out their stays an extra year so we can cut our transportation costs just about in half. Except for life support supplies, VJ interjected. Jamie suppressed an urge to scowl at her. Supplies are a major part of it, yes. Stavanger asked, how much of your life support requirements do you generate from Mars itself? We take oxygen and nitrogen from the atmosphere to make breathable air, Jamie replied. Water from the permafrost. We grow some of our own food hydroponically. Nodding, Stavanger said, but you need protein, medical supplies, that sort of thing. Impressed with Stavanger's understanding, Jamie said, right. We've been there. We've worked damned hard to make Selene as self-sufficient as possible. We use aquaculture to raise protein, fish, shellfish, frogs. Gives us a lot more protein for the energy inputs than a herd of cattle would, Edith added. Or even rabbits and smaller land animals, said Stavanger. You understand what we're up against then, Jamie said. Yes, Stavanger replied. But the question that needs to be answered is still, what's in it for Selene? We can't afford to be philanthropic. We're talking about exploring a new world, Jamie said, trying to keep his tone even, reasonable. A world that once bore intelligent life. I know that. But that exploration costs money. That's why you're here. Yes, Jamie admitted. I'm willing to do whatever I can to help you, Stavanger said, but I've got to bring something reasonable to the Governing Council. Reasonable, Jamie muttered darkly. If there was some hope of a payback, some kind of return on our investment. Exploring Mars isn't the profit-making operation, Jamie snapped. Science doesn't give you a payback, not right away. I know that, but still you're going to sit on your backside and let them close down the Mars program. The same people who tried to take over Moonbase, the same know-nothings and power brokers who've banned nanotechnology, who sat there for fucking decades and let this greenhouse disaster roll over them, you're going to let them shut down the exploration of a new world without lifting a finger to help us. Jamie realized he was on his feet, standing in front of Stavanger, glowering down at him, while VJ pulled at his sleeve. I've got to apologize, Jamie told himself. I lost my temper. I shouldn't antagonize this man. I shouldn't be yelling at him. But before Jamie could force a word past his lips, Stavanger smiled up at him. That's what I needed to see, Stavanger said, his voice mild, pleased. I needed to see some passion. You're entirely right. This isn't a matter of profits and money. It's part of the struggle between knowledge and ignorance, between those who want to push back the frontier and those who want to control people. Jamie stammered. I didn't mean to... VJ tugged harder at his sleeve, and Jamie sat down on the sofa beside her with a thump. Edith was smiling, too. I told you it was in his blood, she said to her husband. So I see, Stavanger murmured. Looking across the low table at Jamie, he said, the frontier is where new knowledge comes from, whether it's the intellectual frontier of a laboratory or the physical frontier of an unexplored territory. Selene is a frontier nation. So you'll help us? Jamie asked. Let's see just how much I can coax out of the Governing Council. Jamie stared at him, open-mouthed. Thank you, VJ said for him. Stavanger's smile thinned a little. Just don't expect a lot. Don't hope for miracles. Boston, Trumbull Trust Headquarters. This is stupid, Dex Trumbull said to himself. I'm acting like some asshole sneak thief. It was past midnight. The offices of the Trumbull Trust on the top floor of the Trumbull Tower in Boston's financial district were empty and dark. Even the cleaning crew and their busy little robots had gone for the night. Everything was dark and quiet except for Dex's office. His office was unlit except for the big smart screen on the wall opposite the drapery-covered windows. The screen showed an image of the Grand Canyon in Arizona. Sitting in the shadows behind his desk, Dex muttered to the silent image, You're nothing but a little scratch in the ground, pal. Put you on Mars, and you'd be just a minor alleyway compared to the real Grand Canyon. But there was a complex of buildings on the rim of the Arizona Canyon, and a spidery bridge arching across the chasm. People pay good money to visit and goggle at the canyon and drive across that bridge. They pay for rides on mule back down to the canyon's bottom. Good, steady money. The desk phone said, "Mr. Kinnear on line one, sir." Dex realized he was biting his lips. He opened his mouth, hesitated a heartbeat, then said, "On screen two, please." Roland Kinnear's round, pleasantly smiling face appeared on the wall next to the picture of the Grand Canyon. He looked youthful, but Dex knew that was from cosmetic therapies. His hair was still light blonde and seemed a bit thicker than Dex remembered from their last meeting. A pencil-thin mustache adorned his upper lip. "Hello, Dex," said Kinnear amiably. "It's been a long time." Dex smiled back at the screen. "Hi, Raleigh. Going on 7 years, according to my files." Kinnear laughed. "Still writing everything down, aren't you?" "I guess," said Dex, trying to look relaxed. He had known Kinnear since they had attended Harvard's business school together, decades earlier. "Must be past midnight in Boston," said Kinnear. 12:22. "We're just getting ready for our sunset cocktail here." Kinnear was at his home on Hawaii's Big Island, Dex knew. Relaxed, easygoing. But Raleigh had a steel-sharp mind for business underneath his smiles and pleasantries. Looking past Kinnear's image to the breeze-tossed palm trees and the surf rolling up on the beach, Dex said, "So are you really retired, or is this just a smokescreen?" Laughing, Kinnear said, "I'm no more retired than you are, Dex. You and your Mars Foundation." "Glad to hear it." "Oh? I want to run an idea past you. Do you mind?" Without an instant's hesitation, Kinnear said, "Go right ahead." "I was thinking about that tourist operation you run in Arizona." "The Grand Canyon operation? It's a money loser. The parks people won't let me expand the facility. Took years to get them to okay the bridge, and we still get protesters now and then. Someday the bastards will blow up the bridge, you wait and see." "How'd you like to work with the Navajo Nation instead of the feds?" "What are you planning to do, build housing on their reservation land?" "No, no. Tourism. Tourism. On Mars." For the first time Dex could remember, Kinnear went absolutely speechless. Dex went on, "We've got a Grand Canyon on Mars, you know. 100 times bigger than yours." "On Mars?" Kinnear echoed. "Transportation's easy," Dex said, stretching the truth. "The new fusion ships get you there in a few days. You're not in zero-G at all, hardly. It feels like regular Earth gravity most of the way." "Dex, have you dipped into the cooking sherry? On flickin' Mars? Who the hell's gonna pay the kind of money that'd take?" "Be careful with him," Dex warned himself. "Don't let him know how desperate you are." "Listen," he said lightly, "when space tourism started, people paid $20 million American to spend a few days on a space station in Earth orbit." "How many people?" Raleigh asked. 5? 6? "More than that. But within a couple of years, guys like Branson were selling tickets for rides into orbit for $20,000 apiece. He made millions on it." "And now people go for vacations on the moon," Kinnear murmured. Dex realized his old friend had done some homework after all. "Good. Now reel him in slowly. How much do you think people would pay for a 2-week vacation on Mars?" he asked. "Anybody can make a virtual reality visit to Mars for a few dollars, Dex. You sell 'em, remember?" "How much would you pay for a real visit to Mars?" Dex asked, dangling the bait. "Walk through the buildings in the cleft in the valley wall. See the remains of the village that they're digging up. Plant your footprints where no human being has ever stepped before." Kinnear looked thoughtful. "It'd be strictly a high-end operation, very expensive. Only a small market, but a highly profitable market. Big ticket price." "The scientists will allow it? I thought they're keeping Mars off limits to tourism." "I'll handle the scientists," Dex said. "And the Native Americans?" He has done his homework.